We will. Yeah. You get to buy dinner after church. Amen. Amen. I appreciate how the Lord's been moving here, and amen, the church, amen, these past few months, past few years. You know, I can't remember, Pastor, just having just a bad service. You know, I mean, you know, there's been some services, Brother Larry, that I was sure under a lot of conviction that I could have said it was a bad service because it felt like both barrels were aimed right at me. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, amen, that the Lord has been faithful. He's been true. Amen. I'm just excited about what He has in store for us here tonight. Amen. And in the future, amen, I know that He has a plan and a purpose. Amen. But it's up to us, amen, to step into His will. He's not going to force us into anything. Amen. The devil tries to force us into some stuff. You know, he tries to constantly bring things up to try and take us off the tracks. Amen. Detour us. Amen. But sometimes God, amen, whenever we end up going on a detour, it's a divine detour. Amen. Sometimes it's to teach us a lesson. Sometimes it's to give us a blessing. Amen. Those words of alliteration there, Sister Lindsay, for you. Write those down. Amen. Those don't happen very often. Amen. All right, we're going to get into the message tonight. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and give you my title. Amen. It might seem a little bit lengthy, but I'll condense it down for the pastor after service, or he can title it as he feels. But a staff of victory, a rod of rejoicing. Amen. A staff of victory. Amen. And that word staff, it means rod. Rod means staff. So we're just going to call it, amen, a staff of victory here tonight. We're going to start reading in Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 12. When you have that, please stand, amen, for the reading of God's word. Amen. As Pastor was exhorting during the end of song service this morning, he had no idea what the Lord had laid on my heart. I had no idea what he was going to be saying. And it just really encouraged me, amen, and confirmed what the Lord had spoke to me. Amen. I pray, amen, that it reaches and touches your heart as it has touched mine. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 12, it says, rejoicing in hope. Amen. Say that with me here tonight. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Go ahead and say that with me. Patient in tribulation. That sounds very exciting, doesn't it? Continuing, read this with me, continuing instant in prayer. Amen. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity, God, to come into your house. I pray that you begin to revive us, strengthen us here in this place. God, help us to come to a remembrance, God, of what you have done for us. God, help us to see, God, how you have brought blessings, Lord, and how you have, God, continue to bring that hope and that patience. God, help us to be continuing instant in prayer, God. Lord, reviving those things in our lives, God, of what you have done. God, that we can come forth rejoicing, God, and go forth in victory. I pray that you would encourage the church, God, here tonight. Bring us forth, God, into your house. God, coming in and going out, God, with your praise in our mouth. In your name we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated here tonight. Amen. Rejoicing in hope. Amen. It's easy sometimes for us to rejoice when things are going right. Amen. But sometimes it's not easy for us to rejoice, amen, in something that we cannot contain or control. Amen. It's like the situation that we're in right now. We're rejoicing and believing God to do a great work. We have all kinds of oppositions and things that seem to be coming against us. Amen. But Pastor, I believe, amen, tonight that God, amen, has given us a staff. Amen. Look back upon, see the victories that He has brought us, amen, brought us in the past. And we can have, amen, we can rejoice even in the midst of the tribulation, amen, the trial, amen, or maybe even the discouragement that we're in, amen, right now. Amen. A lot of times it's easy for us to stand up and rejoice, amen, right after God has done something great for us, but then we forget about it when we're in the valley. Amen. But it's time that we begin to bind, amen, those things God has done for us. Amen. Upon, amen, our doorpost. Amen. Upon, amen, those things that we see every day, begin to realize, amen, and accept, amen, even though things might not be going good right now, God has made us a promise. Referring to the scripture pastor referred to this morning, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. And worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. We've got to begin to realize what this staff represented. It was his heritage, his lineage, and everything that God had ever done in the house of Jacob. No wonder he was able to lean there upon that staff and begin to worship and glorify God as he began to think, I have now had the opportunity to bless the sons, amen, of the son that I thought I had lost, amen, that I thought that had been slain. Amen. No doubt he was, amen, able to have, amen, a rejoicing moment in the moments that he began to worship God. So many times we come to the house of God, amen, with the staff that he has provided for us, and instead of worshiping him, we simply use it as a leaning post, a moping stick. Amen. We've got to begin to look at the things that God has done for us. If you were to look at my staff, amen, I thought about finding one and writing a bunch of stuff on it and reading it off, but that would have took me a long time, so I'm just going to go off of, you know, just tell you just some of the highlights here. If you were to see the staff, amen, that God has presented to me, it would state Lucas Aaron Sanders, born April 4th, 1990. Dedicated his life when he was 12 years old and was consecrated, holy. We find that a few years down the road, that it would state, he has surrendered himself completely and wholly over and was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Then we begin to find he went through a hard time in his life. You know, and we got to realize what all was inscribed on these staffs. I'm going to get into this here in a minute. I'm going to try and not get too far ahead of myself because I've got some, I'm really excited about some things here tonight. But it would state, Isaac, it would state, it would say that Lucas was married and joined with his wife, that Lindsay May Sanders. And they had a child, London Faith Sanders, on November the 13th. Amen. I can't, it's 2015. I got to look at her. She's my calendar, church. Amen. It would show the things that God has done to this point. It would show that in 2011, the things that happened in my life, 2012, 2013, start bringing down through the instances and the situations that I've been through in my life. We've got to realize what was on Jacob's staff. And no doubt, man, this is exciting to me. No doubt that whenever he had found, amen, his sons brought him that garment of Joseph's that was covered in blood. And he picked up his staff. And he wrote, on such and such date, I lost my beloved son, Joseph. No doubt that he would look upon that staff and realize the things that he had lost, but also the things that God had done. And that's what helped him carry through those days of discouragement. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight that Jacob had, amen, a staff that was full, amen, that had been written upon, amen, no doubt from the top down through the bottom, all the different things that God had done, no doubt that he had inscribed upon that staff, amen, when he began to see, amen, amen, when he began to see the wagons, whenever they were coming to pick him up. And his son said, Joseph is alive. And he didn't believe them. But the scripture states out in there, amen, I'm not going to go back and read it, but it states when he's seen the wagons, when he's seen the promise, amen, that no doubt, amen, these boys were telling him the truth. Amen, a new inscription was made there upon that staff. Amen, the son that I thought was gone and that I thought was dead. A lot of times I'm afraid that we get so familiar with our current circumstance that we forget all the things that God has done to bring us to this point in our life. But I'm here to tell you tonight, it's time, amen, that we take another look at the staff. We find in Exodus chapter number 14 and verse 16, "But lift up thou rod," this is, amen, speaking to Moses, "and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." You talk about somebody's staff that was exciting. Moses' staff was exciting. He held out the staff, touched the water, and the water turned to blood. He stretched it up towards the sky, and down came some plagues. We can find all throughout the scripture there, amen, in Exodus, where God told him to use that rod, that staff. Amen. Whenever he was in the midst of the desert, amen, God told him to take the very thing that he had in his hand and throw it on the ground. God showed him the power that was in the staff. There is power in our heritage. There is power, amen, Brother Matthew, in your trial. Amen. Even when we begin to feel lonely, amen, and discouraged, we've got to begin to look back at what God has done for us, how He has brought us through, amen, to the place that we are today. We can find all through Exodus different things that God, amen, did through Moses, amen, with the staff that he had. We find that, amen, that there was a people there, amen, the children of Israel that were thirsty. And he was able to smite the rock and water spewed forth. We find that there was a great battle there in that same chapter. Amen. That as they were there fighting a battle, Moses said, "I'm going to go up on top the hill here, and I'm going to hold up my hands. I'm going to hold up this rod." We find that as the battle continued to get heated and Moses began to get weary, he began to lose strength. There was a couple old boys that decided, hey, when his arms are down and that staff's down and the men aren't able to see, amen, what God has done, we've got to be willing to be that generation that's not afraid to stand up with our testimony. Amen. That's bringing forth and reading off some of the things that God has done for us in our life. Amen. And show, amen, forth what He's done and tell about it. A lot of times we begin to get, amen, we just get kind of closed-minded. We just kind of forget about it. But we've got to be able to stand forth with our testimony, read off some of the things that God has done. Amen. And so that it can break forth encouragement and victory to the troops, because we're on the battlefield, amen, for the Lord. We're going to stand forth, amen. No dear reason, amen, the men and women would look up, amen, that was in that battle and see that staff held high and say, hey, that's the staff that brought us through the Red Sea. That's the staff that helped free us from the Egyptians. Amen. No doubt they would look at that staff and say, hey, that's the very thing that just gave us water as we was dying. But I'm here to tell you tonight, as they were there in that valley, amen, fighting that battle, when they seen that staff go down, they said, where's our promise? Where's the things that God has done for us? That's what we've got to begin to stand up, amen, and tell what the Lord has done. Amen. Have the faith and the strength to stand and rejoice over His goodness. But instead of rejoicing, so many times we find ourselves complaining. He didn't accept that. He did not accept that. But instead, he was willing. When his hands were heavy, they took a stone and put under him. He sat thereon, which means, now I think a lot of times we don't realize the significance of this. They placed him upon a stone so he could still be seen. They didn't just want just his hands to be seen. They wanted all of Moses to be exposed to these men down there in this battlefield. There's some situations that you're going to go through that you'd much rather be hid off in a closet somewhere where nobody can see you. I don't mind them hearing my voice, but I do not want them to look upon me in my disposition, my situation, my despair. Sometimes, Brother Larry, life begin to come against us. God wants to put us up in a place, amen, so that we can be a testimony. Even in the midst of His weakness, even in the midst, amen, of his weakness, they placed a stone for him to set upon. And then these men stood beside him and held up his arms and held up the staff that God, amen, had miraculously in time and time again. It's time that we begin to realize the rejoicing that can be had in the staff. On Moses' staff, no doubt he would look at it and he would see the inscription there where he saw God burning in a bush. No doubt he would see upon that staff where he was upon a mountain one time and God hid him there as he wrote, amen, the law there upon the tablets of stone. No doubt that he, amen, Brother Jason, he wrote in there that he's seen a portion, a part of God. No doubt as he came down off the mountain, amen, and found himself, amen, finding the law and how he was supposed to build the temple of God. And as he would go in and he would minister and feel and see the power of God as a cloud, he would look there upon those inscriptions, amen, when he was going around the desert for 40 long years, and he would see the statements, been walking for 40 years, wearing the same pair of shoes. The soles are not even worn. My clothes look like they're brand new. They're tailored to fit. God brought forth down manna from heaven, and the people grumbled and complained, and he brought them some quail. No doubt he put in there that as the vipers begin to attack the camp, he put in there a statement, and God told me to raise it up on a staff in the midst of the camp and tell the people that anyone that will come and look thereon will not die. What's on your staff tonight? Hallelujah. And the list could go on about Moses. Amen. I want to switch gears here for just a moment. I want to take us into the life of another young man who had a staff. A young man by the name of David. We find in Samuel 17, and David girded up his sword, speaking of Saul's armor. And David made this statement. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proven them. And David put them off him. I want us to look at this, verse number 40, 17 and verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand. The staff that was inscribed on such and such date, I removed a lamb from the mouth of a lion. I removed a lamb from the paw of a bear. On such and such date, I was anointed to be king over Israel. Man, I don't know if you guys are seeing, feeling what I'm feeling here. He had a promise that he was going to be something. That he was going to be somewhere. No wonder he said, made this statement, is there not a cause? Amen. And David made his way down to a creek, to a brook there, with a staff. Amen. And a satchel in his hand. Amen, girded about him, and inside that satchel was a sling. We find here in the scripture that he bows himself down, chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them there in his shepherd bag. As he began to draw near to the Philistine that bare a shield before him. The scripture brings this out. What's David got in his hand? A sling's not in his hand. The staff is in his hand. He's headed to the Goliath. And Goliath makes this statement. He made a statement. I'm going to read it here. On down there in verse number 43. And he states and said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? Am I a dog? You just come out here to hit me with a stick? And see me on my way? Goliath makes no statement of the sling. We've got to begin to realize David was carrying his promise. If we would walk into the, amen, the things that the devil brings against us with the promise that the Lord has given us. Amen. He has gave us, amen, time and time again in this sanctuary. Amen. That the harvest is going to come. Amen. That the church is going to grow. Amen. We're going to see people saved. Amen. We're going to see God work, bring forth miracles. Amen. We got to begin to walk into the battle, amen, with the promise of God. He cursed David by his gods. He insulted him. What he didn't realize, that thing that he had in his hand told him exactly who his God was. Hallelujah. And he said, you might come against me, amen, with these things. Amen. Hallelujah. But I come against you, amen, in the name of the Lord God. Amen. Almighty. Amen. I'm paraphrasing here. But he said, I've come, amen, with the promise of God. What he's done for me in the past and what he's going to do right now. He said, thou comest to me with sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord host and the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. If we would just go ahead and march right up on up to the enemy. You might come against all these other things, but I'm here because the Lord asked me to be here. God called me, amen, in July 2000, help me out, Lindsay, when we moved, 2012. I was thinking 2013, July of 2012, in a youth camp service in Yosho, Missouri, Brother Larry. And God spoke to me and told me where I needed to go. Things came against me, tried to deter me, discourage me, derail the plan of God. I'm not going to go into detail on the staff, Pastor. That's got some inscriptions on it of what God has done for me. And when things would come against me, Brother Jason, I would look at the promise that God had given me. Boys, you've got to begin to grab a hold of the staff that God has provided for you. Begin to inscribe the things that God has done. Amen. Amen, brother. Brother Timothy, begin to inscribe what God has called you to do. Amen, Brother Jonathan. Leave a space there for God to put you, amen, in a place where He wants you to be. And do it in faith. My staff has got some inscriptions on it. We find that David, as he's headed to the Philistine, this great Philistine named Goliath, amen, it states here that he ran toward the army to meet Goliath with a staff in his hand, some stones in his shepherd bag. And as he's running toward Goliath, God's promise, and this is Lucas's commentary, take it or leave it. He takes his staff. This is what I believe. Amen. He had to take that staff and set it down at some point in time to reach in there and get that stone and that sling. You know, Goliath mocked him because of what he was carrying. What would have happened? What if this is the case? And this is just my imagination. The reason he wasn't able to respond or react, Goliath wasn't able to quickly. Maybe David took that staff and chunked it at him. And he's like, what in the world is this? Maybe. Now this isn't in the Bible. Like I said, this is just my. He caught it. What is this? And then all of a sudden, a stone lands right between his eyes. Goliath was a man that was trained in war. The very thing that was in his hand was also his victory. And at this point, I want to skip down over into Psalms. Find a Psalm of David. Psalms chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now right here, we've got to realize where David was at. This next verse, man, it's exciting up here. David's staff is no longer in his hand. Verse number 4 states, yea, though I walk, in his case, he was running through the valley and the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, hallelujah, they comfort me. The rod and the staff of God is what gave him the strength and the comfort. Amen. David set his off to the side. Said, I don't need mine anymore because I've got God's, which has the promise, amen, of life. I've got God's, which has the promise of victory. I've got God's, which is the promise, amen, of healing. I've got God's rod and staff. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy, hallelujah, shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why did David end this psalm in that statement? Because he knew the house of God's value. Amen. He looked at the staff of God and seen the importance of the house of God. No wonder David began to prepare everything for his son Solomon to build the temple. Why was David blessed? Because he seen the value and the importance of the house of God. Why did he know that? Because he was led and guided with the staff of God Almighty. What would happen, church, if we would begin to have a staff of remembrance and rejoicing in our lives? I can tell you here right now. Wasn't too long ago, amen, brother, an inscription upon my staff that, man, the loss of something that was dear to me and my wife, born child. There's some of you here that knows that pain and that judgment that comes along with it. It's not easy to cope with. It's not easy to accept. Because it's not what I wanted. Death was supposed to comfort me, to lead me and guide me. Found myself discouraged, depressed, cast down. But in those moments, Brother Robert, that's when I begin to see that staff that comforts me even in the valley of decision, even in the midst of despair. And I begin to see, and that he has given me something not only, amen, amen, a staff to look back upon, but something to rejoice. Because what I don't have here, I now have in heaven. But we've got to be able to see the staff that God has given to me. That staff at times is painful to look upon. Because it failed. It shows where I've had loss. Understand. End of that problem. The end of that despair. There is always mercy and grace. That states the next thing that happens. The next thing that comes by is going to be your blessing. It's going to be your strength. It's going to be your help. We've got to begin to look, hallelujah, at what his staff says. At what he states he's going to do. Because I've got a promise. Church, we have a promise. Don't be discouraged. I know that there has been tragedy that is smiting, amen, smitten men and women that have come to our house of worship here. Don't get discouraged. But instead, look at the inscription upon his staff. From this point on, David no longer had the staff of his own, but he had the staff of God. When he was hiding in the midst of a cave, and Saul was in there sleeping, he could have very easily taken his life. But he made this statement, something that each and every one of us need to really remember. He said, I will not touch God's anointed. Amen. We have God's anointed. Amen. Pastor Pepper, we are to encourage to in this move that we are trying to make. Amen. We're shifting, trying to shift from one location to another. We've got to begin to look at the staff of God and at what He's leading us, what He spoke to us. We've got to begin to come in with rejoicing. Saying, I know the work's going to be hard, but bless the Lord, oh my soul. He will give me the strength to overcome. Hallelujah. We find the victories of God is made in this statement in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. The year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. A train filled the temple. That train is another, amen, example of all the victories, amen. What only could be, not only what could be ascribed, amen, upon the staff, but also shows a statement of how victorious our God is. We've got to begin to realize the victories that He has is, amen, unlimited. We find down in verse number 8, I also heard the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I see the staff, I see your victories, I will go. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Amen. Psalms verse 5, chapter 5 and verse 11 says, but let those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Defend us them. Amen. The Lord defends us, Sister Lindsay. Amen. He will raise up a standard against them that try, amen, to barge in and take what God has given. Brother Matthew, you've got to begin to show, amen, that rejoicing atmosphere for what God is going to do. Not what He's already done, what He's going to do. Have that faith and that joy in what He's promised. Amen. Amen. And begin in those moments where we don't have that joy. Look back at what God has just done. Brother Matthew, Sister April, and rejoice. So many times I think we find other things to draw our attention away. I'm not going to worship. I'm not going to rejoice. But here in Philippians chapter number 4 and verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Do you realize who penned these words? Anybody want to take a guess, boys? You want to guess? Guess who said that? It was Paul. The Apostle Paul, Saul, man of Tarsus, that was a murderer, amen, and persecutor of the church. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He'd been bitten by a snake. He had been beaten and left for dead. Amen. He had been shipwrecked. Amen. He had been stuck down in the depths of a prison. And if anybody, amen, had a reason to complain, it was Paul. I've been guilty and the Lord has convicted me. Amen. Challenged. Amen. Me and my household. Amen. And we come into this house. We come into this house with joy. We come in the house to rejoice, Brother Jason, because of what He's brought us through. Amen. What He's going to do. Amen. We look at what He's done, what He's promised us, and what He's going to do. We come in this house with praise. What are we supposed to do? We come into His sanctuary. And we're supposed to lift up His name, give Him praise, glory, and honor. Well, I just don't know. I'm just so tired. I'm going to sit here on my arm, my elbow. Service to be open. Next thing you know, we're bored in church. What happens next, Titus? He's got it down. That's it. Next thing you know, we're bored with church because we're not rejoicing. We shouldn't have a reason, amen, to do anything else but have joy. Amen. If you're saved, are you saved, Timothy? Well then, amen, where's your rejoicing at? Amen. Tony, does the Lord love you? Where's your rejoicing at? London, does Jesus love you? Yeah, he does. Amen. She shows her rejoicing quite a bit. Amen. In church and at home. We'll get there and get to playing and singing. And, you know, she's bouncing around. Amen. She's gotten now to where we'll put on some music and be singing along with it. Next thing you know, she's singing the part that's repetitive. Because she knows it. And she's excited about it. Why is she excited about it? Because we're excited about it. We wonder why our kids aren't getting in and getting what they need. It's because we as parents and leaders aren't doing our part. Amen. We're not called to be on the back pew, but in the front. Amen. Seeing what God can do. Amen. I'm fixing to close. Sister Lindsay, if you come to the piano. Amen. That staff did not end with David, but it continued to stretch forth from generation to generation until we find in Matthew chapter number 1 where there was a promise, amen, that was given. A young man by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He was, amen, came Joseph and Mary. What do we find that this young man did 33 years healed? Death, amen, people that were dead come back to life. We can look back at Elisha. He sent his staff forward to start the living process in a young man that had died. Why did he do that? He sent forth a token of faith. Amen, church. Rejoice. Rejoice. And Lord, always. Again, I say rejoice. What we find is in that, in Philippians chapter number 4, I challenge you to go read that. It says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for in my joy and my crown, so steadfast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. He loved the Lord. He loved the house of God. Where is your love at this morning, this evening? Where is your love at? The seasons are changing. Brother Jason preached that last Sunday. And now I got to work. Work is worship. We ought to be excited about the work we can do for God. Whether it's praying, praising, running these, amen, running this church round and round, seeing what God can do. Church, I want to challenge you here tonight as everyone stands. I think it's time that we revisit. Amen. Revisit some of them ancient landmarks. And to see what God has done. What He has brought me through. And where I am going. Amen. We've got a future. Amen. And He has no greater desire than to see you, amen, come to your full potential. But sometimes for that to happen, we've got to start rejoicing. We find the children of Israel as they marched around Jericho. They marched around, amen, 7 times. And it wasn't until that 7th time that they were allowed to rejoice with a shout. Where's your hallelujah at tonight? Amen. Bless God in heaven. Amen. Where in the world is it at? As she begins to sing and play, I want us to come and stand around the front of this church. Begin to rejoice about what God has done for you. Where He's brought you from. What He's promised He's going to do. We've got to begin to have that faith and that joy and rejoice yet once again.
I never said that I would give you Say